You're listening to Tassie Encounters Moments on Faith FM, and we're coming to you from Tasmania, right across Australia. Each weekday on Tassie Encounters, you can hear what the Bible says about past, current, and future events. You can learn how to study the Bible more effectively. You can get to know who God is, why we're here, and where we're going. And you can experience personal encounters with Jesus. I'm your host, Jason Cook. And today, Tabitha Zachariah joins us for the final time this week. Welcome, Tabitha.
Thank you, Jason. It's great to be here. Thank you again for having me. I've enjoyed doing this series with you and learning about owning your mistakes, saying it to God, saying it to the person that you've wronged, and then moving on to all these stages that involves forgiveness and rebuilding relationships.
Making things right. That's what we've called it this week. So if you've missed our past episodes, you can listen online. Go to faithfm.com.au, find programs and podcasts there, and find Tassie Encounters Moments, and you will find us, or Tassie Encounters, you'll find us under there as well. You can also listen on the app, Faith FM Australia app. Can download that. Same thing, go to the browse menu and you can find our program, Tassie Encounters Moments. So we've been talking about confession, owning it, confession, saying it, and yesterday we looked at forgiveness. One thing that we didn't have time to talk about was the effect that forgiveness has on our physical bodies as well. And there's a study that was done at the Mayo Clinic that describes, well, first of all, they describe forgiveness as an intentional decision to let go of resentment and anger. And they found that the benefits include, apart from healthier relationships, it included improved mental health, less anxiety, less stress and hostility, fewer symptoms of depression, lower blood pressure, improved heart health, and even greater self-esteem. Isn't that amazing that learning how to forgive can give us greater self-esteem?
A simple act, and you can see all those benefits, and they are not just little benefits. They have immense impact on your day-to-day life.
I've even heard that some people believe that holding on to resentment and anger and unforgiveness can even manifest itself in substantial ways within the body, such as, say, developing cancer and other, you know, medical conditions. Because when we hold those emotions inside us, they're negative, they produce negative chemicals that cause all sorts of things in our body that are not good for us. So really important to learn how to forgive. So if you missed yesterday's program, do go back and have a listen to that. But today, the final part of our program is restoration. So I was going to ask you this question, but we've given it away now. What after confession and forgiveness, what comes next?
Well, as you've said, Jason, what comes next after forgiveness is healing and rebuilding. And this is usually, it's not instant. It is a process. There can still be emotions to work through, trust to restore, and sometimes consequences to navigate. But what's important is the burden of secrecy or guilt that has been lifted. And in the spiritual terms, it becomes a space for growth. Once we brought these things into light and received forgiveness, we are invited to move forward differently, shaped by what God is doing in our lives at that moment. And that can include making amends, so where it's possible, setting new patterns and learning to live more openly and honestly. So in many ways, confession and forgiveness is not the end of the story. It's the beginning of restoration.
Absolutely. And you've actually mentioned that yourself in your own experience, that forgiveness can take time and restoration can take longer. You know, even after forgiveness, there's a process that it takes time for that healing to happen. So we're going to give you some tips today as to how that can happen and some things to take away. Forgiveness happens you know, by one person. It can happen even without the other person confessing. But reconciliation actually requires both people.
Mm.
You can't have reconciliation unless both people participate in that process.
Mm.
An act of confession and an act of forgiveness.
Mm.
The two must go hand in hand in order to start the process of reconciliation and restoration. So mm-hmm. something to think about. Forgiveness is always required and God asks us to forgive. Reconciliation, it's not optional as such. It's not, I'm not saying that it should be optional. What I'm saying is it's not always possible because it may not
mm-hmm.
be in the heart of the other person to actually come and confess and own their mistakes and come and sort it out with you.
Jason, it's important that you say that because then that takes pressure off both people because if I have confessed, if I wronged you and I've confessed and asked for forgiveness and you're not ready to forgive me or you don't feel like you want to do it, then it's taking pressure off me knowing that it's not.
You're actually respecting their boundary to say, okay, it's not fixed yet.
Yes.
And so you need to respect that and give them time.
Yes.
And hopefully over time that will actually, maybe they will be able to forgive and maybe the relationship can be restored.
Yeah, and vice versa. If they haven't asked for forgiveness, I know that I will forgive them, but I don't have to. Or if they haven't changed, then we don't have to have that, reconciliation happening. But
particularly if there's situations where the relationship is not safe, whether that be emotionally safe or physically safe.
Mm.
Mm. So we want to stress that. It's not essential to put yourself back into dangerous situations, either emotional or physical.
Mm.
So it requires both parties to reconcile a relationship for that. Restitution, you might say, is repentance with work boots on.
Interesting.
What happens when you put your work boots on?
You know, you're going to work.
You're going to work. So there's work to be done. I want to have a look at the story of Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus was a tax collector. This is in Luke chapter 19. He was a tax collector and they were not liked amongst the Jews because they were effectively working for the Romans and often they cheated and they took more tax than they should have and they kept it for themselves. Now, let's read the situation where Zacchaeus met Jesus and Jesus came to his home and something changed in Zacchaeus. Can you read that from Luke chapter 19, verse 8 and 9?
And again, this is from the New Living Translation. It reads, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half of my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham.
So there's a few lessons that we can learn from this, because one, Jesus says salvation has come to this home, but we see that Zacchaeus was sorry for what he'd done. He'd repented from those mistakes that he'd made, and he was prepared to make it right again.
And even, like, it doesn't mention in this section, but after that, I believe, if I'm not wrong, when he went back to his work, he did it in a just manner, like he was fair.
If he went back to being a tax collector, yes, he would do it fairly in the future, yes. I don't know what happened to Zacchaeus. I don't know if he went back and continued his work.
I must have imagined I read that.
Yeah, I suspect he did, and I think you're right. He would have done it correctly, and as he came across people that he'd cheated, he would have made that right. Mm. So restitution may mean returning what was taken. That's what happened in the case of Zacchaeus. It might mean correcting false information that we've shared. It might mean making financial amends if we've done something wrong that's caused somebody some financial loss. It might mean accepting consequences without resentment towards that because, you know, there are consequences when we do things that are wrong. It may mean seeking accountability so old patterns don't continue. So actually seeking help to change your behavior. That's important.
Mm.
It may mean giving the person who's been hurt time and respecting their boundaries so that the relationship over time may be able to heal. And hopefully that is the case. There's a few examples here, and I think this pattern or this series of steps is a good one to remember. And it's based on this confession that comes first, the repair. We need to make things right by doing our best to correct the problems that have been made. We need to change our behavior, so pattern change, and then we need to give time to rebuild trust. So those four things, confession, repair. A repair might be asking what would help to actually fix this situation.
Mm.
And you can ask that of the other person. What do I need to do to make this right?
Mm.
Pattern change, make sure that you commit to changing the behavior that caused the problem and give the person time to rebuild trust and actually prove to them that you are trustworthy.
Mm. Mm. That's important.
Do you know research actually supports this concept of apology and restitution, not just apology. It says that people are helped not only by hearing regret, so that's like the apology, I'm sorry for what I've done, but actually by seeing someone take responsibility and make an effort to take action to actually fix that.
And that's actually more like applicable, especially in a relationship, be it like a marriage. You know, you have said to someone that I don't like this and this, and then they've said sorry. Seeing them changing their behavior will help rebuild that relationship quicker compared to if they just say sorry and either they don't do anything about it or they don't change what they've said they will change.
Absolutely. In the case of Zacchaeus, we saw his change.
We did.
He committed to it.
Mm.
He said he was going to make it right by repaying, even not just repaying, but repaying multiple times what he had taken from people. It takes time. It takes consistency. And it might take some gentle coaching, I guess, to help people get back onto the right path. There's a verse in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. I'll get you to read that, Tabitha. Galatians 6, 1 and 2 from the New Living Translation.
It reads, "Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path." Mm. So we have a responsibility as Christians to be one another's keeper.
Mm. But we need to do that in a very gentle, humble, spiritually careful way, not being harsh and condemning.
Mm.
We need to speak the truth. There's another verse. I don't have it with me here, but it says, speak the truth in love. So it's not loving to not speak truth.
I think importantly, one thing that I know people would struggle with in terms of like opening up, or it's feeling judged. Like you don't want someone to feel judged, because then it will be hard for them to sort of look, have that humility and look at this in a sense that you're wanting the best for them and not just condemning them for their actions.
I think if we need to have that conversation with somebody that we've observed, you know, some behavior that is not right, we might actually see someone who's hurting another person. And we need to not just let that go on and on. I think it's really important that before we address the particular behavior, that we make it very, very clear to them, and that they know, they truly know and understand that you actually have their back, that you actually care for them, and you're speaking to them out of love, not out of condemnation.
Mm.
Because no one likes to be corrected, but we all need correction at times.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's also important. If somebody comes to me and says, hey, Jason, you're not handling that very well. You need to change your approach here. I need to be able to accept that mm-hmm. wisdom as well from other people.
Yeah.
There's another verse. Let's read that from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18 and 19.
It reads, and all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation.
So it's really interesting how God actually calls us to help with reconciliation with each other, but also reconciling people to God as well. So whilst Christ was the one who came and started that ministry through his own actions and his own sacrifice on the cross, he's actually extended that work to us as Christians to help people reconcile relationships with each other and to help reconcile relationships with God.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's pretty cool that he gives us that job to do. Mm. Do you know, we're called to be peacemakers, not peace fakers.
Mm-hmm. I never thought of peace fakers. I've learned a new word.
Well,
today.
We can sometimes pretend that everything's all good.
Okay.
Do you get what I'm saying? Where it's not.
Mm.
We have to go through the real process of confession.
And it's often hard. It's ugly sometimes. And that's why it's easier to avoid it than go through that process.
So I think in order to be true peacemakers, we have to go through confession. We have to go through forgiveness. We have to be both willing to forgive and ask for forgiveness if we, you know, in our confession, if we've hurt somebody. And we need to try to reconcile and restore broken relationships that we've caused with our own words and actions.
Mm-hmm.
And so genuine peacemakers are those who actually go through those steps,
mm-hmm.
not those who just pretend nothing's wrong.
Mm.
We don't want to fake good relationships because
cannot be faked.
It doesn't help.
Yeah.
Something will come up at some point and resentment ultimately rises to the surface.
Mm.
So I think we've learned a few things this week. I think confession and apology opens the door, and repeated faithfulness and consistency in behavior can rebuild broken trust.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, when our actions line up with our words, then we can rebuild trust there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we've hurt somebody, we shouldn't demand that somebody forgive us immediately.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to allow time for that to happen. And ultimately, it's not just about moving on. It's about restoring a genuine relationship that feels safe, that feels truthful,
mm-hmm.
and ultimately reflects the relationships that God wants us to have with each other. So the things to think about this week and in the future, what would repair look like? Think of a situation where a relationship isn't as good as it should be. What would repair look like? Is there something I need to return, to correct, to replace, to make right? Is there something that needs to be said? Have I expected trust to come back faster than my behavior has actually changed? If I'm not changing, how can I expect somebody to forgive and trust me again quickly? And where reconciliation is not safe, well, let me rephrase that. If the relationship hasn't been able to have a two-way connection through confession and forgiveness and acknowledgement, then I don't think reconciliation can be safe. So if reconciliation can't be safe because of that, we need to have wisdom, and we need to look at how to protect each other in those circumstances. How can I become the person that God wants me to be, who is healed, not carrying around a lot of weight and burden?
Mm.
Owning it before God, saying it, confessing to other people, and letting go of that resentment through forgiveness and rebuilding what can be rebuilt, and being patient with people along the way. I think that's what God wants us to do. And I want to thank you for coming in this week, Tabitha. It's been a good discussion.
Thank you, Jason, for having me. I have learned a lot from this series. And two things that I can say. First thing, for we have all fallen short of God's glory. We are all sinners. That's one thing we always need to remember. And secondly, God forgives us. God has forgiven us through his son, Jesus Christ, and is actively forgiving us. So we need to also forgive others.
Absolutely. Stay tuned for the last chance to claim our book offer.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
Walking with Jesus Confession. This is a Bible study guide in the series Walking with Jesus. God has promised that when we confess our sins and give our lives over to him, that our sins will be forgiven. Learn how Jesus' perfection can cover your past mistakes as you claim this amazing promise of forgiveness. Experience God's mercy for yourself when you come before him with a humble heart. That's our book offer. It's a Bible study guide. Text us in TEM72 to 0488 880891. That's TEM72 0488 880891. Thank you for joining us this week. As we finish up today, this is Tell Your Heart to Beat Again by Danny Grogan. Thank you, Tabitha. May you encounter Jesus more today and each day as you learn to confess.
Amen.
Like you've never been before, the life you knew in a thousand pieces on the floor. And words fall short in times like these, when this world drives you to your knees. You think you're never gonna get back to the you they used to be. Tell your heart to beat again. Close your eyes. Wash over you, it's alright now. Love's healing hands have pulled you through. So get back up, take step one. Leave the darkness, feel the sun. 'Cause your story's far from over, and your journey's just begun. Tell your heart to beat again. Close your eyes and breathe it in. Let the shadows fall away. Step into the light of grace. Yesterday's a closing door. You don't live there anymore. Say goodbye to where you've been and tell your heart to beat again. Your heart to beat again. Beat again. Oh, so tell your heart to beat again.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.